Good evening, this is Shmuel Mayevsky, and I entitled this year tonight, V'yisa Ach Sameach. There's a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, but the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, even though we know that, for instance, there's no Avelis on Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, but only on the Yontif of Sukkot does it say V'yisa Ach Sameach. And of course, there's various reasons highlighted. In one thing I believe that I mentioned last year, the word Ach Sameach is no matter what you grow, all the crops in your field will be wonderful, as opposed to many times if one has five or six different crops growing on his land. Some of them might come out well, some of them not, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you do everything right, Ela Moadei Hashem, I'm giving you a formula for celebrating Yontif. It's your Yontif, but I'm telling you how, as the Shalah says, I'm telling you how to celebrate the Yontif. It has to be done within the confines of what the Torah says is Simcha. And that's a very interesting point. So, V'yisa Ach Sameach, but also the interesting thing about Sukkot as well is another point. V'yisa Ach Sameach is very much that the first 7 days of Sukkot, we have to eat in the Sukkah. Pesach, we have to eat the matzah. We have all these chiyuvim from the entire Yontif. And Shavuos is, it's Matan Torah. We stay up at night. But Sukkot, for the first 7 days, we have the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrei, Geden, Hoshana Rabba. We have all these things that we have to be concerned about, that it shouldn't rain, and we eat in the Sukkah, and make sure the Esrei doesn't become possible, and various things. The last 2 days, the Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, we have nothing left for us to do. V'yoyiso, when it says by Shmini Atzeres, is v'hoyiso ach sameach. The only thing, the only responsibility you have for the last 2 days of not of Sukkot, but of Shmini Atzeres, the last 2 days of Yontif, the only obligation you have is to totally be of celebration. But with that comes something else that's very interesting. We do two things on Shmini Atzeres that would seem to be a fly in the ointment. And one, of course, is reading Kohelet. And the other one is, of course, saying Yizkor. After all this time, I mean, why would we think that we have to say Yizkor on Shmini Atzeres or on Sukkot at all? Because yesterday was Yom Kippur. We said Yizkor already, and it's only going to be 2 weeks after, less than 2 weeks after Yom Kippur, we're going to say Yizkor again. It seems unnecessary, and why do we do it? Of course, the reason is a very simple one, because the mitzvah to do it on Shalosh Regalim came first. Yom Kippur was the add-on later, and because it was the obvious time that it would be proper to say it. Kohelet is not exactly an uplifting Megillah to read. Shlomo HaMelech is telling you things that make very interesting realization and why it's relevant. David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, the first thing that he wrote in the three Svarim that he wrote, Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, and Kohelet, he only mentions his own name in terms of, says Shir HaShirim, Asher LiShlomo, doesn't mention where he came from, his father, or anything like that. As he grows older and he says Mishlei, it says Mishlei Shlomo Ben David. He mentions David his father, because as he grows up, he realizes that his father certainly formulated a lot of his actions and came across and did certain things that made him the person that he was, following in his example. Of course, his father passed away when he was 12 years old, but nevertheless, he grew up in the palace. The third sefer that he wrote, Kohelet, that we read on Shmini Atzeres, and in Eretz Yisrael, they're going to read it on the first day, because there's just too much to do on Shmini Atzeres, which is also Simchas Torah, and to say Yizkor on the same day as Simchas Torah and read Kohelet would be too much, which is something very interesting as well. But at the end of his life, later on, when he finally looks back on the sum total of his life, he says, Divrei Kohelet Ben David. And we've mentioned before, he in the whole Kohelet, he mentions his father twice, doesn't even mention his own name even one time. Because at this point in time, he realizes that his 50 years of being on this earth, he died at 52, but at the end of his life, he realized he's just, as we've said before, a compilation of all the people that came before him, and he doesn't mention his own name either, because he realizes, not to say that he's a non-entity, but that his thoughts, his mind is being formed and molded by his father, by his grandfather, whether he saw him or even knew him, or all these things, all the generations. Koheles means he gathered all the information from all those that came before him, not even necessarily his own bloodline, but society, the great people that came before him. He was a product of the people around him, and he understands that. And when we say Yizkor, it's a very interesting thought process. We say Yizkor with the thought that it's something very interesting. And what caught my eye is in Parshas Vayigash, when the Bnei Yisrael are going down to Mitzrayim at God's behest and tells Yaakov to finally take his whole family, and the Yosef Yoshis Yado Elinecha, he says to him, to go down, don't be afraid to go down, and it lists all the names of the 70 people. And we have this problem, we add up all the names of the 70, it only comes to 69, and we have this thought, you know, the Gemara finally decides that perhaps they're talking about Yocheved, she was born on the way down to Mitzrayim. Of course, that creates a lot of other problems. But what nobody ever mentions, which I thought was fascinating, that always concerned me, regardless of the fact that we given the 69 names and Yocheved not being mentioned, but the truth of the matter is, there weren't 69, even 69 people who went down to Mitzrayim, because Rachel and Leah, Rachel obviously in the Chumash, but Leah only died a few years after Rachel, and Rachel and Leah both never made it down to Mitzrayim. They only had it very best, because I don't even know about Bilhah and Zilpah, but certainly Rachel and Leah, but probably as far as I know that Bilhah and Zilpah also never made it down to Mitzrayim, which would bring the number down to 65, and that would seem to be a very different number than being concerned with only Yocheved being the 70, it just says. But the answer is in the language that it's used when it says, B'shivim nefesh yardu avosecha Mitzrayima, and then it says again, kol hanefesh haba'ah, it was, again, it uses the word nefesh. And that's a very interesting use of a terminology. It doesn't say 70 people. It doesn't say 70 anoshim, men, women, and children. It doesn't mention that word. It uses nefesh. It uses souls. And what we do when we say Yizkor, we're asking God, we're praying for. When we say the Yizkor, it's using the word nefesh, because we're interested in souls. And the Shvatim that came down, all the tribes of Yaakov, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yaakov as well, but Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, they came down, Zvulun, they came down with the spirit not only of Yaakov leading them down there, but also with the spirit of their mother Leah. And Rachel, her spirit went down with Binyamin and Yosef, and Bilhah and Zilpah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, their mothers went down with them. And when we say Yizkor, we're thinking about those things that we're saying, and that is what gives us V'yoyisa Achsameah. It brings us joy to remember that here we are enjoying our life, and we enjoy our life because of the people that came before us, the fact that we have what we have, we sit comfortably, and of course, and in Shul yesterday, in Yom Kippur, and on Sukkot, and we remember 50 years ago was the Yom Kippur War, and we had so many losses over there. Imagine, yesterday we're sitting in Shul enjoying our, not to say enjoying, but in our comfort, in the Shuls, davening and praying to Hashem, asking for Slicha Mechila, when 50 years ago on Yom Kippur, there were people davening with all their heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they get a tap on the shoulder, when people were going around from shul to shul. Of course, they didn't have the radios on, but some people had it on in the house because that's what they have to do when they're in the reserves and things, and their units were being called up and they had to go. And when we say Yizkor, when we say Yizkor and Yom Kippur, there are thousands of Jews who perished in that time frame from Yom Kippur to Sukkot, when we lost all those soldiers. And when we say Yizkor on Yom Kippur, when we say Yizkor on Sukkot, on Shmini Atzeres, we have to keep them in our prayers. But it brings a smile to our hearts to remember that we are enjoying our lives as we are today. And this comes along, and even though it's Shmini Atzeres and we're saying Yizkor, it's V'hayisa Achsameach, because it's our upbringing from the parents that came before us that afforded us the comfort that we have to be able to go to a nice shul and daven and enjoy, sit in the sukkah and have a lulav and esrog and be able to afford all those things. What occurred to me, one other thing that I thought was very interesting, is there's always that question of how come when Yom Kippur is over, we say as soon as we daven Ma'ariv after Nila, we two things. We say Salach Lanu. And of course, there's not to say, but there's an old joke, what we're saying Salach Lanu and Shmon Esrei right away is because of how much we rush through the Kriya Shema that we said before Shmon Esrei, how much we're looking to go and eat after Ma'ariv and make Havdalah. We're so anticipating the food that we didn't daven with the proper kavana, so that's already our first sin, and that's why we say Salach Lanu and Ma'ariv. But that's sort of like almost like a Jewish joke. But the reality is what is very concerning is we know, not concerning, but an interesting fact that I think about. We know that if you could say Tashlich until officially till Hoshana Rabbah, a lot of people wait till Hoshana Rabbah to go to Tashlich. There's various minhagim. But certainly, and we say, why is that? Because our fate is not sealed until Hoshana Rabbah. Some even say till Hanukkah. That's a way out there thought process. But certainly till Hoshana Rabbah, we have the ability to do tshuva. But it's a very interesting thought. Then why, in fact, do we make an announcement? And you see it in the Mazda that all day Yom Kippur was saying, you know, the Kosev, the Sefer HaZichronos, and then in Ma'ariv and Nila, we say Vachasom, to be sealed. And to be sealed, and why are we saying it at that time? Well, the fact is that at the end of Yom Kippur, when is the greatest moment that it's appropriate for us to ask for Meslicha or Mechila and Kapora? It's the same way. When is the best time to ask your boss for a raise? After you've had a couple of good days of work, you come up with some great solutions and you do something, you have a project and you complete it very well and the boss is very impressed. And that's the right time to ask him for a raise, certainly. Not when things are going wrong. And certainly you would ask him then. And after the day of Yom Kippur, at the end of fasting and davening with Kavana and that pouring out your heart in a heartfelt manner and realizing what you did, at that moment, the best time to ask for Slicha Mechila is on Yom Kippur at the end of the day, at the end of Nila, to say Vachasom. Feel my records right now, because unfortunately, as soon as Yontav is over, we start to eat, and we start to celebrate because God told us that we have a mitzvah, Simchas Yontif. Sometimes there are certain things that we may step out of line. And immediately, as much as we try to rectify our wrongs that we've done, we make New Year's resolutions, so to speak, and maybe not all of them we're able to keep right away, and we start to falter a little bit about certain things, now on Yom Kippur is the right time to ask. So right now, at this moment, at the end of Yom Kippur, when I've really made a resolution to be a better person, fasting and davening without any other thoughts on my mind, let God seal the book for our faith for the year now. But always remembering that the Yizkor that we say is to remember what we've had up to now, all the good fortune that we've had. And keep in mind that the other people that have gotten us here to this time, and may we all have a wonderful Simchas Yontif and have a wonderful week, and I hope everybody enjoys the Sukkot, and may we have good weather. Not everybody's in New York, and Sunday at least should be a very nice day. And It says in the laning this week, "V'nigdashti v'los chalulu shem koshi v'nigdashti b'sog b'nei Yisrael." And what does that mean? Why is there a double lashon? Number one, it's a very easy thing to a lot of times to just sit and do nothing. And of course, is that you being mechalel shem shemayim? Well, v'los chalulu shem koshi. I'm not being mechalel God's name by sitting around doing nothing, but at least the Nigdashti B'sok B'nei Yisrael, you have to get out of your chair and do something. But the interesting thing, what is called Kedusha, what is called the Nigdashti, and what is called not? And the interesting thing is, when we go to Shul and we daven B'tzibur, that is the Nigdashti. Why is that the Nigdashti? Because it's B'sok B'nei Yisrael. It's that kind of thing every time when we put on our talis and tefillin in the morning and we look around and there's 30, 40, some shuls, 100 or 200 people all sitting with their talis and tefillin on, davening together. That's Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, because everybody looks around and sees how many other people are doing the same thing that they are. It makes you feel good that there's a good minyan. You look around and it's very uplifting. And the same thing when Rav Moshe Feinstein made a point of saying, when a town has a very rich person and they see that he doesn't give tzedakah, that he's a miser, according, you know, at the kefir cholosok, as much as he could afford, that in itself is a chil Hashem. And there are always, he hasn't done anything, he hasn't done a miser, but that nevertheless, his lack of action is a chil Hashem on certain points. And these are the things that we have to do in mind. We give the tzedakah, we say the yizkor, we go to shul and we daven properly, and that's the nigdashti b'sog b'nei Yisrael. And may we all be zocha to have in mind when we say yizkor on the second days, to have in mind those who brought us here, but those who fought for our safety and give us the comfort when we go to Eretz Yisrael, to be able to save the land for us. Of course, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but these are the people we have to be thankful for, the people who sacrificed their lives at this time of the year 50 years ago. It's hard to believe that it's 50 years already, but this is what we pray for. And with Shivim Nefesh, those Shivim Nefesh still are among us today. They filtered down through the thousands of years since B'Shivim Nefesh, Yardu Avosecha Mitzrayimah. And when they left Mitzrayim to go into the land of Israel and to spread out through all the world in the next few millennia, their hearts and souls go along with us. May we keep their souls alive in us for the rest of our lives and pass it on to the next generations, to our children and grandchildren, so that we may experience Mashiach in the near future. Have a good Yom Tov.